Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
From under the threshold of the temple toward the east. What's toward the east? The Mount of Olives. Why doesn't that stop the flow of the river? Because there's a big valley and it broke in two when Messiah returned. Remember Zechariah 14. It says, for the front of the temple face east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate. That's also called the Damascus gate. That's the road, the gate that Paul went out of to go up the Damascus road. And led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, that line is to measure, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's about, what, 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. So how deep is that? Just a couple inches, right? Just a couple inches. Verse 4, and he measured 1,000, that is another 1,000, another 1,500 feet. He brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Now we're talking, what, 2 feet? I guess it depends how tall you are. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Now it's at least 3 feet. Unless John was really short. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water was one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. What sea is to the east of Jerusalem? The Dead Sea. What grows in the Dead Sea? Nothing. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. I mean, it's not salt water anymore. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There'll be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. That is fantastic. It's a... Yes?
Hey. Reminds me of Exodus when Moses split the rock and water come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Exodus, Moses split the rock and water came out. What is so significant about the Dead Sea? Why is it dead? Why is there so much salt in it?
It has no outlet.
Has no outlet. That's true. But what flows into it is the Jordan River as it comes out of the Sea of Galilee, which is not salt water. But what did exist down in the region of the Dead Sea until about, Genesis chapter 19? Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember the people being turned into salt. Yeah. So this is a cleansing and a healing of a region that was so immoral and so sinful that God had to destroy it. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. Back to Revelation 22, verse 2. I'm going to have to turn to this Bible because pieces of that page are missing. In the middle of its street. What street? The river street? No. The street of the city, the New Jerusalem. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. What two trees were Adam and Eve told not to eat from? the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. What if they had eaten from the tree of life after they sinned and fell? That would have been disastrous. There could have been no salvation because there couldn't be any death. That would have been bad. So why in the New Jerusalem is it now okay to eat from the tree of life? Because everyone there is saved and there is no more sin. It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 and read about the tree of life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's in the midst of the garden. Where was the Garden of Eden? At the Temple Mount. Interesting. Then Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. After Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and fell and were sinful, fallen people, God makes sure that they don't eat from the tree of life. Genesis 3, verse 22. Then God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword was turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So God put Adam and Eve out of the garden for their own protection and their own good. Because if he hadn't, what would have been the next tree they'd have eaten from? Well, God said, don't eat from this one. And hey, it was good, so I'm going to eat from this other one here too. So it was for our own good that God put us out of the Garden of Eden. Let's go to Psalm 46. I look forward to eternal life. I'll kid you not, but not in this body. Psalm 46, verses 4 to 7. Right here in the Psalms is a song about the tree of life. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle or dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So the streams will flow in the messianic kingdom on earth and in the new heavens and the new earth. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. The Torah is also referred to in the scripture as the tree of life. Because those who get saved by faith and choose to follow God out of love of heart will see the new heavens and the new earth and the tree of life that dwells in it. So beginning of verse 13, it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So wisdom and understanding of the ways of God and how to walk in his paths and follow his commandments, statutes, and judgments leads to long life, happy life, fulfilled life, and an eternity with our Messiah in the new heavens and new earth. Revelation 2 also mentioned these things. Revelation 2 is from the seven letters to the seven churches. And it refers to the tree of life in the New Jerusalem, in the eternal kingdom. Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, everybody look around, see who has ears. We all do. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So these letters are not just for dead people 2,000 years ago, but for you and me. To him who overcomes, that's defined in 1 John chapter 5, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Which means what? It means eternal life. Residence in the New Jerusalem. What a beautiful promise. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 22. We're up to verse 3. Maybe we're still in verse 2. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. What curse? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. The earth was cursed because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Then to Adam, he, being God, said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Who should Adam have heeded? The voice of the Lord. But instead he heeded his wife. And have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Prior to this, how did the earth produce fruit and trees and vegetables? They just grew. In toil you shall eat of it, meaning from now on you're going to have to work for it. All the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. How many of you have been out gathering up fruits and vegetables and got a handful of thorns and thistles? Yep. And you shall eat the herb of the field, not the herb. The herb's here in the audience. Okay. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. I mean, it's going to be work. It's going to be hard. Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. What's the Hebrew word for the ground? Adama. What was the first man's name? Adam. Adam came from the ground. And it's back to the ground that we are supposed to go. More on that when we get to our question and answer, when somebody asks, what about cremation? But back to Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Meaning what? God won't be up in the heavens, separated by space we cannot traverse. God will be right here in our midst for us to see and to talk to and to ask questions of and to watch the videotapes with as we go, ooh, shouldn't have done that. Okay. And his servants shall serve him. Who are God's servants? Those who believe in him. They shall see his face. Right now, what is it to look upon the face of God? Death. But then, we shall see his face and his name shall be on their foreheads. That's like Revelation 14:1. Let's go back at Revelation 14:1. Revelation 14:1 is about the 144,000. And it says in verse 1, then I looked and behold, what's behold mean? Something's really important. A lamb standing on Mount Zion. Anybody know who that lamb is? That's Messiah. And with him 144,000, that's the 144,000 that were sealed in Revelation chapter 7, having his father's name written on their foreheads. So will these servants of God in Revelation 22 and the 144,000 have tattoos across the forehead? The answer is no. Tattoos are forbidden. So what does it mean to have his name on their foreheads? They're going to have a mindset that wants to follow his character and his nature. What did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11:1? Imitate me as I also imitate Messiah. It means our every thought is going to be, this is what the Lord would have me to do, and therefore I want to do it. Is that a different nature than we have now? Yeah. Yeah. In verse 5 of Revelation 22, it says, there shall be no night there. Who's the light in the city? God and the Lamb. Means they will always be there. They will not separate themselves from us half of the day. They will be constantly present. Verse 5, there should be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In Revelation 21:23, just a few minutes ago, we looked at the fact that God and the Lamb are the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Forever already means forever. Why do they add and ever? To make sure we understand, it will never, ever end. So the reign of Messiah is forever. Never to end. And of course, in John chapter 8, verse 12, what does the scripture tell us? Who's the light of the world? Yeshua is. He's always been. He continues to be. Verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. I don't know that we needed to hear that, but what he says is, I ain't lying. It's true. Every word the Lord gives us in Revelation 22 is true. You can bank on it. It says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets, meaning the one who sent the holy prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. What do we read in the book of Amos? Turn back to Amos. Surely the Lord God does nothing except what? He reveals it through his servants, the prophets. Let's go read it from Amos. It's a test to see if we can find Amos. Because it's a little book of prophecy. Right around the book of Joel. Come on. Before Obadiah. There it is, Amos. Chapter 3, verse 7. This is too important a concept to miss or to glance over. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. That means that if God was going to abolish the Sabbath and replace it with Sunday, what would we find in the scriptures? Behold, there will come a day when I will change my mind and Shabbat will no longer be important and I shall replace it with the day of the sun. Do you find that anywhere in scripture? No. Why? Because God doesn't change. Turn to Psalm 89:34. It's become one of my favorite psalms to remind myself of. Because I read it many times before the light bulb came on. Psalm 89:34. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. What does that mean when the word of God says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying? What happens to all those words? They don't change. They come to pass. And in Psalm 119, verse 89, it reiterates that point. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." What does the word settled mean? It's not up for debate, is it? It's never going to change. And add to your list Psalm 119, verse 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your Torah as void. That was revealed through its servants, the prophets. Daniel chapter 7. Who was going to tell us that the law has been changed? The false Messiah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as well. So many places we could go. Isn't there something in Psalm 105? Let's look at Psalm 105. Verse 8. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Have there been 1,000 generations? Not even close. What verse was that? Psalm 105, verse 8. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. That means through the Messianic kingdom into eternity future. There are so many verses like that. We just need to believe that when God says it, it's true. So back to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 6. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." Does that make you think of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1? It should. So let's go look at Revelation 1, 1. Revelation 1:1 begins, the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. What does the word revelation mean? The revealing. The revealing, when Messiah is going to come back to rule and reign, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And that's what it says in Revelation 22:6. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. But God revealed this to John almost 2,000 years ago. How could that be shortly? If a day is to the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day, then 2,000 years is just a blip in time. That is shortly. And let's turn to Matthew 23. And let's hear it from Messiah. Matthew 23. Verses 34 to 39. Referring to the generation that sees Israel become a nation again. And when did Israel become a nation again? 1948. The generation that saw Israel become a nation again are starting to pass away. Of course, if you look around the room, some of us were here. Yep. But assuredly, verse 34 says, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So the generation that sees Israel become a nation again will see the tribulation period unfold, which means it must be soon. Verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What does that mean? That means the words that were uttered from the lips of the Lord will never, ever fail. Verse 36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's wedding talk, as you know. If you ask the bridegroom in Messiah's day, when's the wedding? The answer was always, no man knows but my Father. Because the Father decides when the bridal chamber is ready and the bridegroom can go get the bride. So it doesn't mean that Yeshua is not God. It simply means, he says, think back to the wedding ceremony. How long did the bridegroom have to build the wedding chamber? He had to take at least 1 year, but not more than two. A year representing 1,000, not more than 2,000 years between the first and second coming. And it hasn't been, but we're getting pretty close. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's not referring to the rapture, it's referring to the second coming. Think back to the days of Noah. The animals went onto the ark. Noah and his family went onto the ark. God shut the door. And when did the floods come and kill everybody not in the ark? 7 days later. Not the day the door closed, 7 days later. Verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Meaning what? They were given no heed to Noah's warning. People didn't.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.